Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Christians need to know the truth, but they also need to be aware of the accusations and the charges that are made against the truth. And one of the charges sometimes heard is that preachers and teachers and members of the church are not allowed enough freedom. The church has become too restrictive, some say. Consistently, those who forsake the church speak of their newfound freedom in their new religious affiliations. They say they enjoy a free fellowship and a free church. Well, the love of freedom certainly runs deep in the hearts of people all over the world, particularly in our nation. But what is our liberty in Christ? How is it defined? Like everything else about the faith of Christ, we must learn this from Scripture. Hear the words of Christ on the subject of freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. Obviously, friend, there is no freedom of the kind of which Christ speaks without truth. And Christ defined truth, thy word is truth. John 17:17. Whatever freedom in Christ involves and allows must be determined by the Word of God. In John 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom is ours because of Christ, and there is no freedom apart from Christ. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. A Christian is called by the gospel. He's identified as the Lord's free man. In Galatians 4, verse 26 and 31, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now these passages speak of the church and its freedom. Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This freedom in Christ is worth holding. It is evident that there is a Christian freedom. In Romans 8 and verse 21, it tells of the glorious liberty of the children of God. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, the Scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. James 1 and verse 25 speaks of that perfect law of liberty. The freedom under consideration cannot be separated from Christ. It cannot be separated from the church. It cannot be separated from faithfulness, nor from the Spirit, nor from the law of Christ. Now the greatest liberty in Christ is that we are no longer in bondage to sin. We once were not free because we were under sin. But in Romans 8 and verse 21, he mentions the bondage of corruption. Romans 6 and 17 says, ye were the servants of sin. John 8:34 teaches that whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And Romans 3:23 shows how this applies to us all because all have sinned. Therefore, all responsible and accountable people were once in bondage, the bondage of sin. But Christians are now free from that bondage. And this raises the question, from what are Christians free? Now in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, they all teach that we're free from the law of sin and death. 1 Thessalonians 1 teaches that we're free from wrath. 2 Peter chapter 1 teaches we're free from hopelessness and from the estrangement from God. In Romans chapter 8, it teaches we're free from condemnation. Galatians chapter 2 informs us that we're free from laws that men would bind, which God has not bound. Now, when we realize that such things which held us in bondage are the things from which we are delivered, we rejoice in the freedom in Christ. But what some have failed to grasp is that freedom in Christ has its limitations. And it imposes responsibilities. We're not free from everything. We sometimes hear the so-called self-appointed scholars speak of academic freedom, as if they have the right to teach anything, whatever they choose, without responsibility to anybody. Freedom is so often interpreted by men to simply do my own thing, say whatever I will, regardless of the consequences to myself or to others. Some think they have the right to believe and to teach and to practice whatever pleases them and whatever satisfies their consciences, and God will accept it. And everybody else should also. But such abuse of the idea of freedom has promoted all kinds of immoralities and disobedience and rebellion against authority, divine and human. Some think freedom of speech means that you can say anything you wish, anytime you wish, anywhere you wish. We're free from all law, some religious teachers have dared to proclaim. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Some, impressed with the greatness of God's grace and the need of this grace, have concluded that they have permission to sin because this would expand the grace of God as it covers sin. But my dear listening friend, freedom from sin did not include the freedom to sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 8 and 9, "But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Now, we're not bound to human opinions in matters of indifference. But neither are we to think that we're free from the way that we influence other people. Christians are never free to think that what they do is nobody's business but their own. There may be even things that of themselves are permissible, neither right nor wrong, that we cannot and do not do if they would cause another to lose his or her soul. Christian freedom is not doing whatever you wish, saying whatever you like, teaching and practicing whatever you think or want. Christian freedom is limited. We're always in servitude, friend, either to Satan or to God. We are never totally free in every respect. When we leave the servitude of Satan, we enter into the service of God. Certainly that's the theme of Matthew chapter 11 and 28 through 30, where Jesus says, "Come unto me." They are burdens that we cannot bear, from which we are given rest. But we assume a yoke. We take the Lord's yoke upon us. In Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18, we were servants of sin. But when we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered, why, we are indeed made servants of righteousness, but in either instance, we are servants. Those who often abuse freedom, who misunderstand it, who criticize so heavily what they call the power structure of the church, they're liberal in their philosophies and in their doctrines. This kind of language is the same that is used by various elements in our society who seek to overthrow the order of authority in every realm. Much of the political and social and civil and religious unrest pours from the liberalism so many have adopted in their abuse of the idea of freedom. The church is charged by some of being too authoritarian, as if there is no authority whatsoever. Now, authoritarianism is said to violate one's freedom. Now, that there can be abuses of authority, nobody would deny. But shall we conclude that abuses of authority renders all authority null and void? Shall we conclude that abuses of freedom means there is no freedom whatsoever? Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines authoritarianism as advocating the principle of obedience to authority as opposed to individual liberty. Now, inasmuch as there is a limit to the freedom of the individual by the authority of Christ, there is, in a true sense, authoritarianism that must be exercised in the church. All that we do is to be done in the name of, which means by the authority of, Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Do you not realize that all authority belongs to Christ? Matthew 28 and verse 19. Don't you know that there will be punishment to those who do not obey the gospel? 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Paul told Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Titus 2 and verse 15. And even though the charge of authoritarianism is meant to deride the church, if a church is the Lord's church, there must be the recognition of duly ordained and proper authority. And herein has the Protestant world protested against God in the overthrow of His authority. Herein is the sinister and destructive power of liberalism. There is a power structure in the church, although not always the sinister kind at some charge. Jesus is king. We're subjected to His word. Elderships do have authority to oversee the church. Some resent all authority. They prefer what they call freedom. But such freedom is not true freedom at all. It is rebellion. To preserve true freedom, there must be respect for authority. And authority must be respectable. And when either is absent, trouble will prevail. I have been preaching the gospel many years. I have not yet heard faithful brethren suppressing thought or inquiry or investigation. At the same time, I have heard faithful brethren insist that matters be settled according to divine authority. Those who want to do their own thing by injecting false doctrines and binding opinions, introducing denominational imitations and innovations, they set aside the necessity of authority for what is said and done, and then charge brethren with suppression if they are challenged. One former preacher praised a certain church because he said he was now allowed to speak on any subject any way he saw fit, and nobody would challenge him. It makes me wonder if the freedom to challenge what somebody does not accept might have been suppressed. To prevent the liberal and refuse the liberal the right to sow their seeds of division and discord and heresy and apostasy provokes some of them to wail, denial of freedom. Well, the real trouble is they are in rebellion against the thus saith the Lord. And what is condemned is license to sin. And that's called deprivation of freedom. Friend, you can rest assured that if you challenge a liberal's contentions, you will be subjected to vicious abuse, and nobody will attempt to restrict your freedom faster than a challenged liberal. If the time comes in the church when the church ceases to discipline its membership and requires submission to the Word of God, that church becomes no more worthy to be called of Christ. When people rebel against the teaching of the Bible and relegate only to themselves the right of freedom, misusing the genuine and true freedom in Christ as taught in Scripture, they are no longer the servants of God, but they have turned like the dog to his own vomit again and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. When the mouths of the gainsayers are stopped, oh, how they cry, we don't have freedom. Well, such people are adequately described in the Scripture. When we realize how bad sin is, and when we know freedom from sin is in Christ, and when we know that we are delivered from the old law, we will understand that we are free, but free to walk in the way of Christ. And we will have grasped what freedom in Christ really is. Christ will return and will deliver His kingdom to the Father, just as Moses delivered Israel into Canaan. And then we shall know our eternal spiritual freedom that is ours, through Jesus Christ. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.